Coverage of the war in Iraq has occasioned so much mutual congratulation by the news media and the military, it might be called a case of strange embedded fellows, a relationship that has often been prickly and that in Vietnam extended to accusations of perfidy by the press is about as happy as anyone can recall. That's because of the Pentagon's decision to let hundreds of reporters go with the troops. In the phrase favored by the Pentagon, they were embedded in military units.
Before the Iraqis could even get out of their pickup trucks, many were obliterated by the explosion.
We're on a sort of long, rather slow road to Baghdad. I guess that's no secret.
One of the pilots told me that all it takes to shoot down any helicopter is an AK-47.
How well did it work, this offer of access to the war as U.S. servicemen and women experienced it? Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Brian Whitman oversaw the system. He says the Pentagon expected Iraq to put out a lot of disinformation about U.S. actions.
And we knew that we would want to try to counter and mitigate some of the effects of that constant flow of disinformation. And what better way to do that than with trained observers out there in the field able to report in near real time everything that was occurring.
Brian Whitman says it worked. Marvin Kalb also says it worked. He's a former network correspondent, now with the Shorenstein Center on the Press, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government.
The embedding experience has to be described as a brilliant way of manipulating, of managing the news. They wanted very much for the character of the American soldier, the pilot, the sailor, to come through to the American people. They were very proud of it, and they figured the best way of doing it was to bring an American reporter up close, experience what it is that the soldier is experiencing. And the Pentagon calculated that it could only be given back in a very positive, sympathetic, even emotional way, and that's what happened.
But to be effectively used and manipulated, these aren't encouraging verbs for news organizations.
Hardly.
But Marvin Kalb says the Pentagon's gamble that U.S. forces would survive the close-up treatment paid off.
Ted Koppel told me the other day that he used to walk in to the morning briefing by the two commanding generals of the 3rd Infantry Division whenever he wanted to go in. It was not an arranged briefing. Reporters who have just come back from this Iraq experience tell me that they were able to simply walk into top secret briefings without any guidelines. It was extraordinary.
It wasn't just the experience of Ted Koppel.
The 101st began moving into Iraq at 8:45. Helicopters were flitting around the city.
Rick Atkinson of the Washington Post covered headquarters of the 101st Airborne Division, and what he saw firsthand was the unfiltered stuff of soldiers at war.
There had been a catastrophic Apache helicopter raid. 35 helicopters went out, 33 came back. All but seven of them were no longer battle-worthy. They were so shot up. I happened to sit in on a briefing by the pilots of the 11th Attack Helicopter Regiment who flew that mission as they told their brethren, the Apache pilots from the 101st, in a conference call over a speakerphone, what had happened. And it was so direct, it was so blunt, it was so frightening, really, to these Apache pilots, that it was really quite an extraordinary experience for me. I've covered in the military for 20 years now, and I've never heard anything quite like it.
Atkinson calls embedding an extraordinary experiment. The Pentagon let more than 700 journalists look, as he put it, behind the curtain and see what they might.
I saw officers who were less than competent. I saw officers who lost their temper. I saw officers who lost their cool. And all of that, obviously, is something that the Pentagon typically doesn't allow journalists to see. I also saw extraordinary competence and extraordinary valor. And I think the balance sheet ultimately is probably what the Pentagon, and particularly the Army, expected it to be. And that was, this was an army of which the country can be proud.
Eric Westervelt, one of NPR's embedded reporters, also gives the system high grades. But our colleague John Burnett came away from it dissatisfied.
It's an unnatural way to practice journalism.
Burnett, who was with the Marine Headquarters Battalion, says he's compared notes with many other reporters who felt the same limitations he did. They were kept too far from the grunts, too constrained in their movements.
We need to have our own transportation. We need to be independent. The way journalists were in Vietnam, we need to be able to go into the villages to find out what are behind the faces that were smiling and were waving, what happened after the big battles there. There were times when we felt like we were captive cheerleaders of the Marine Corps. It didn't serve them, and it certainly didn't serve journalism.
John Burnett acknowledges feeling from time to time what other reporters mention, a sense of Stockholm Syndrome, named for the Swedish bank robbery hostages who came to sympathize with their own captors.
It's human nature. And that's not a bad thing, and it's an inevitable thing. I didn't mind growing close to him and making some very close friends who I'll stay in contact with and gaining a deep admiration for the incredibly hard job they do. But I wanted to step away from that from time to time, and with the embed process, you can't do it.
Three retired generals whom we asked about the embedding of reporters all said essentially the same thing. It worked, in that it gave the public very intense, very emotional stories of war. But those reports, they said, were narrowly focused. They gave a tactical view, not a strategic one. And according to Eric Alterman, the author of the book What Liberal Media, those stories were so intense on television, they obscured other issues that should have been covered.
What I needed was to understand what was going on with this war. What did this war mean for the United States, for the world, for the future of the Middle East? And the embedded reports didn't tell me anything about that. The only context we got was these retired admirals and retired generals who were basically commenting on the effectiveness of the military operation. That was the entire spectrum of discussion. And so the embedded journalists were able to drive debate to the exclusion of just about everything else, when in fact what they were reporting wasn't all that important. It was colorful. It was interesting. But it didn't tell you what was really going on in the war.
But Marvin Kalb of the Shorenstein Center says that's not the fault of the system of embedding. Reporters in war always have a limited view, he says. And the reporters with the troops weren't the only American journalists covering the war.
There was the reporter down at Doha. There was the reporter covering the Pentagon or the White House or the analyst in Paris. Everybody together created a collective vision. I think it is about as good as we could expect and as good as we have ever gotten of a major military conflict. Yes, I do.
Still, there are questions about the embedding system that are hard to answer. What if the Republican Guard had somehow stood its ground? What if there had been a prolonged siege of Baghdad? Would the happy relationship between media and military have survived battlefield setbacks? Marvin Kalb concedes that the answers to those questions we'll just never know.